topic tonight is Yirat Chet. Literally means fear of sin. Now let's first off start off by talking about what does Chet mean? Now normally it's translated by sin, but it's not really sin. There's many words for sins in Hebrew. Let's just go through them and we'll explain what Chet means. So the lowest one is Ones. Ones means an accident. A person did something which was accidental. Right? So for example, he was standing on Shabbat and someone pushed him against the light switch and he switched on the switch. Right? That's accidental. Or he's standing by the roof and something fell off the roof. By accident, something fell off the roof and hit someone. Accident. That's a very low level. It's a very low level sin. And probably, in most cases, he would be not liable for anything. It's called accidents. Accidents happen. Not liable. The second level is called a chet, which over here is a chet. And what is a chet? A chet is something which a person did b'shogeg. What's shogeg? Unintentionally, by either forgetting or by not knowing. Lack of knowledge in some respect. Either lack of knowledge because they forgot, or lack of knowledge in general, right? So for example, a person ate something not kosher, either because he forgot the laws of kashrut. Like for example, he ate meat, and now a few minutes later he ate milk. You have to wait 6 hours. He didn't wait 6 hours. Oh, I forgot! I forgot! It completely escaped my mind. That's called shogeg, unintentional. Or, if it was Shabbat, and he did something, and he forgot, he didn't know the law. If he didn't know the law, it's similar to forgetfulness. He didn't know the law, it's similar to forgetfulness. So it's interesting because lack of knowledge is not something which exempts the person. If it's something the person could have found out, lack of knowledge is not something which exempts the person. That's chet. And the third level is avon. Avon is sin to get benefit. Most people sin in order to have some benefit. So for example, a person eats not kosher because they're hungry, or because they like the taste, or they break Shabbat not because they don't like God, because they you know, it's more convenient. They want to go to the store; it's more convenient. So that's sinning for the sake of pleasure. That's avon. That's the third level. The fourth level is pesha, the worst level. Pesha means sinning in order to anger God. Now most people don't sin in order to anger God. However, we did have kings of Israel, unfortunately, who did just that. They would sin in order to anger God. Terrible things. They would do terrible things in order to get God angry, to arouse His anger. So most people today, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that level of most people do it either because they don't know, they forgot, they didn't know, they do it because of pleasure, or they just accidents happen. Okay, now let's talk about what is the word chet. Chet, so we say chet loosely, second level chet, is loosely translated as sin. What it really means is to veer off the way. You're going down the road, and you miss the path, and you go off as a tangent. That's what chet is. Chet is going off at a tangent. Instead of a person going down the path, they're moving off the path. So that's called chet. So when a person sins, we have to realize they are moving off the path. And what is the path? Halakha. Halakha is the way people walk, which is the path. There's a path of life. And this book is called The Path of the Just. So there's a path. A person veers off the path, you don't know where they're going to end off. And that's what a sin literally is, veering off the path. It's moving off the path, ending off somewhere else. So now this chapter discusses different levels of fear of God. Okay, it's called fear of sin, but it's much broader than just fear of sin. It is really discussing fear of God. Okay, now the Ramchal gives a very, very clear explanation of different levels of fear of God. So he says, don't forget, this book is 25 odd chapters. This is chapter number 24. What does that tell you about the level of this trait? That obviously is very, very high, because you have to climb the ladder. If the ladder has 25 rungs, and this is rung number 24, That means that it must be a very, very hard level. It must be a very high level. So that's what he says. He says, when you know that this is one of the last levels in this book, it must be one of the higher levels. There's only one level after this. So it's very important to realize fear of sin, or fear of God, is a very, very high level to get to. And it's very hard to get to it. And a person who needs to get to this level, who wants to get to the level, has to go through the rest of the levels of the book. You can't just, from day one, start off and say, I fear God, I fear God. Not true. You have to go through all the other levels of keeping away from sin, of purity, of holiness, and humility, until you get to this level where you can start thinking about fear of God. So he says there are three levels on this topic. There are really two, but the second one is broken also into two, so therefore there are three levels in this topic. There are three levels of fear of God. Three levels of fear of God. The lowest one is much easier, obviously, to reach than the other two. And the other two are much harder. So the lowest one is... So there's three levels. So the lowest level is much easier. The second level is not as easy. And the third level is the hardest. But to get all three, that's the hardest. Get all three together, that is the hardest. So, okay, so let's start. What is it? Number one, the lowest level is Yirat Ha'onish. Fear of being punished. Person says, you know what, I'm scared of God. I'm scared God will do something to me. I'm scared Hashem will make my life a misery. That's called fear of punishment. That is the lowest of fear of God. Okay? Fear of punishment is the lowest of fear of God. And a lot of people have this in the back of their minds. You know, if I do this, Hashem will punish me. I don't want to do it. I'm scared. I'm scared of God. So people think it's not a big level. It's a very high level. To be scared of God is a very high level. Why is fear of God high? What, fear of getting punished by God a high level? It means that you believe in God. I believe in God. Not only do I believe in God, that what? God is the creator, but I also believe that he controls everything. Not only does he control everything, he knows what's going on. So a lot of people believe, you know, a lot of people don't believe in God. That was number one. Number two is, if you do believe in God, I believe in God that created the world, but as Einstein put it, he walked away. And the third level is, I believe in God, but he doesn't know what I'm up to. I don't believe he knows what's going on in this world. It's impossible. Why? Because there's so many billions of people. He doesn't pay attention to everyone. He created the world, and he's mindful a little bit of the world as a whole, but not each individual. He doesn't know whether I sin, didn't sin. And last level is, God does not react. Right? So even though I know God is the creator, I know God is involved. I know God knows what I do. I don't believe that God reacts. So a person believes that God reacts. It's a very high level. It means he believes in God. He believes that God did not walk away. God interferes. And he believes that God knows what we're doing. Chapter 24. And he believes that God reacts. Four things. It's four very high levels. There's four things involved. So a person might take for granted, you know, I'm scared Hashem might react. That's a good thing. Why? Four things. I believe there's a God. I believe that God interferes in the world. And I believe God knows what's going on. And I believe that God can punish. He has the power. So, it's a very high level. That's the lowest level of Yirat Hashem. The lowest level of fear of God is fear of punishment. Fear of punishment. But as we said, it's a very high level. Because to get to that level, the Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto says, you have to go through the whole book. You have to do all the previous traits to get to this level, to fear God, to fear punishment. It's not an easy thing. Okay, so that's the lowest level of the three. We said there's three parts to fear of God. The lowest level is Yirat Ha'onish, which is fear of the punishment. That's the lowest level. The second level, Yesh Yirat Haromemut. Second level is fear of God Himself. Now, to have that kind of fear, you have to know who God is. And that's the hard part of that fear. How do we know what God is? Right? So number one we have to know is, where is God? Everywhere! What do you mean God is everywhere? And the answer is, God created everything. He's the creator of the whole world. And God is everywhere. And God is aware of what we're doing. And God knows what we're doing. God is watching us right now. God is everywhere. So, but how big is God? Infinite! Oh boy, that's a big number. Infinite is a very big number. And that's the hard part of fear of God. That's the hard part of fearing God himself. Why? Because for us, to think of the infinite, we have no concept of the infinite. We have no concept of mass. Of God has no mass. But to be everywhere, to be above even this universe, right? God created this universe is like a little toy for him. The whole universe. I'm talking about the whole universe. The whole physical universe is nothing. According to Kabbalah, it's the lowest of the 10 dimensions. It's the lowest of lowest of the four worlds. It's the lowest of four worlds. This universe is the lowest of the four worlds of creation. And God is above the four worlds, so where are we? You know, we can't even imagine it. That's, by the way, that's the advantage of learning Kabbalah. One of the big advantages of learning Kabbalah is to get an idea of the vastness of Hashem. We have no comprehension of God's vastness. We have no comprehension. So that's the hard part of fearing God's greatness. Because we know what God's greatness means.
So for us, whatever is big is really very small.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How big?
It's really very small.
Yeah. Unless you look at the maps of the universe. That's very good for your Achamayim. You look at the stars and you think, the closest star is 4 light years away. The closest star. Which means 4 years ago, the light came here. I'm seeing the star in the sky. It's 4 years old, the light. The other star is 20 years ago. The other star is 200 years ago. The other star is 1,000 years ago. It's not even there anymore. The guy could be 10,000 years ago. We don't know. But it can't be more than 6,000, whatever. Depends. So it's looking at the stars, looking back in the future, in the past. We don't really realize. We're looking at the past. They're not there anymore. They moved. They're not there anymore. The sun was there 8 minutes ago. It takes 8 minutes for the sun's light to get to the earth. 8 minutes. Because it's so far away. The light travels 186,000 miles a second. It's hard for us to comprehend. 186,000 miles a second, and it takes 8 minutes to get here from the sun. It's, you know, if you focus on the numbers, then you say, wow. How many atoms in a needle head? Just the head of a needle. How many atoms? Trillions and trillions and trillions. On a needle head. So now, when you think about that, they can think about the vastness of Hashem. There's so many things going on around us. We just can't see it. That's the trouble. We don't pay attention. Can't see it. So we see people. So you go to the zoo and you'll see different kinds of animals. And say, wow, if there's a creator, it's an amazing creator. Made so many things. We only see, even if you go to the zoo, you only see a part of his creation. You don't see a small part of his creation. Just think about how many kinds of insects there are. Thousands and thousands of kinds of insects. I mean, it's hard to imagine. How thousands and thousands, I don't know, how millions of kinds of plants there are. Butterflies. How many types of butterflies? Not just, it's amazing. So, it's hard to imagine. So you see the greatness of God. A person has to think about. We should really spend a few minutes a day thinking about how great God is. No one does that. Can't say no one. Must be someone doing it. It's very hard to do that. A person should think. Meditate. That's why meditation is good. How vast Hashem is. That's what David HaMelech says when he saw the sky. He says, Marabu Mazeh Hashem. How great are your works, Hashem. Kulam Bechma Zita. You made everything with wisdom. You spent time. Well, Hashem doesn't have to spend time. But everything is created with tremendous wisdom. We don't appreciate it. So, you know, every time the evolutionists are trying to figure out, why did this evolve? Who needs this? You know, why do we need this? So it's the fact is everything is created with brilliance. Hashem is brilliant. The greatest designer. No one can create these designs. Amazing design. Not only create design, but they can rejuvenate. Right? You cut a branch off the tree, you don't cut the tree, right? The tree still grows. You cut a branch off the tree still grows. What happens is, it heals. The tree heals. It's wild. You see the tree. I was walking down North Third today, and there were cones there that they were cutting off the branches, lower branches of the tree. And within a few days, you'll see the tree is healing by itself, heals. Amazing. People heal. Animals heal. Not only that, we can create, recreate. Amazing. Nothing can recreate. General Motors make a car. Imagine making a car that can recreate itself. It gets a bang and it rejuvenates itself. No such thing.
They're working on it, right?
Good luck. But still, you can never match God's work. You can't make a car from a little drop.
The car can't reproduce that.
Can't reproduce. I thought they were working on that. Okay. So we said there's three levels to fear of God. The lowest level is called fear of punishment. Fear of punishment. We said even fear of punishment, to get to the level of fear of punishment, you need to go through this whole book and keep the lower levels. Plus, you have to know at least four things. Number one is there is a God, the Creator. Number two is the Creator also cares what's going on. Number three is God knows what's going on. Number four is God interferes in what's going on. Because if He's going to punish me, He's going to know everything. He's going to know back. Number five is He can read my mind. Oh boy. God reads everyone's minds. Oh boy, that's the hard part. That's really the hard part. Because He knows your feeling. You did the mitzvah. He knows you did the mitzvah. He doesn't just see what you did. He says, see the how. Oh boy, that's the hard part. That's the higher levels of service of God. A person is doing all the mitzvah. What does he do next? Does it better. From inside. See, I'm doing the mitzvah anyway. I'll keep your Shabbat anyway, right? But you do it with gusto. You do it with yearning. You do it with pleasure. Those are the hard. That's the hard part. That's really the hard part. That's really the climbing the ladder of God. David Abedah says, who can climb the ladder of God? Mi'alev HaRashem. Neki kapayim ba'leva. He's going to have a pure heart. A heart. I was reading today an article. Yeah, I got to write another article. Based on that article, I'm going to write. I'm leaning in. I want to remember to write an article. Write this down. Remember to write an article. The article is like this. Shabbat is coming in later and later. Well, now it's getting earlier, slowly. But it's interesting because the same people who are dashing around when Shabbat is early are also dashing around when Shabbat is late. In other words, you have more time to prepare on Friday, but you see people still late. It doesn't make sense, right? Okay, I can understand. When the Friday is very short and Shabbat is 4:15, people are late. Okay, I can understand. But when Shabbat is 8:50, what is it? 7:57 right now. 7:57. This Friday was 7:57. But it got to 8:15, right? 8:14. You'll still see people 8:14 and not ready yet. There must be something wrong. Either they're procrastinators. Severe procrastinators. A lot of people procrastinate all the time. In which case, I can understand. Okay. Or they just don't care. Huh, go ahead.
Or I think there's also the fact that in order to earn the merit of Shabbat, there's certain things, so no matter what time Shabbat starts, Hashem's still giving the same test, so we'll fill that day a little bit more.
I'm just saying, okay, the test, but is the test easy or the same?
Same.
No, not true. The more time you have, the more, I say the test is worse. It's worse. It's a bigger test now. If a person fails, it's really pardon me now, let's not talk about it. It's, in other words, Hashem made it easier and you still missed the mark. I lowered the grade, the pass rate. I lowered the passing grade and you still failed.
The idea it's easier to make Shabbat because it's later?
Yeah. Much easier. You come over 4 o'clock from work, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I still have time, 2 hours.
So half of the year it's easier to make Shabbat.
It's getting easier and easier and then it gets lower later and later.
Half the year it's harder to make Shabbat.
Right. It's much harder. You got to leave work early. It's a hard. Plus, keep Shabbat really. It's a tremendous mitzvah. I'm just saying. And then the other side, the same thing. When Shabbat leaves early, it's easier to make it a bit late. Yeah, so Shabbat ends at 5. Okay, so I'll say end 5:15. Okay, not such a big deal. But when Shabbat ends at 9, I'm not going to wait around for 20 minutes. So you see the same yetzara, both sides. People get caught on both sides. Usually the same guys. The guys who bring in Shabbat late, they're the ones who take out Shabbat really early. But it's a frame of mind. It shows what a person's frame of mind is. So a person can test themselves on their frame of mind. See when a person comes to shul and they leave. Oh, that's a frame of mind already. Comes early and leaves late. Tzaddik gadol. Comes late and leaves early. Ay, ay, ay. Cutting the corner on both sides. He's cutting, burning the candle on both sides. But you can see where a person's level straight away. Yeah. Definitely better. 100%. He's definitely better. Better late than never, as they say. Better late than never. Definitely better than not coming. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, a person can see themselves. I'm not going to go and test the person's mitzvot, but a person can tell themselves. I'm going to tell you. Very easy. How do you bring in Shabbat? You bring it on time, you're late all the time. If you're late, okay, I can understand. If you have five kids and you're running around, lunatics, whatever, okay, I can understand. But if you have nothing else to do, you finish work early, you come home, and then you watch TV, you're delayed, that's, oh yeah, okay, let's not talk about that. I'm just saying that that's what Yirat Shamayim is, Yirat Onish. Fear of Hashem knows what's going on. Bar Minan, we should never be devil's advocate. We should say nice things. I'm saying today, let's say something really nice. And that is, anyone who keeps Shabbat today is getting, it doesn't matter whether they bring it on time or a little bit late, because we have the 18 minutes. Someone said to me yesterday, I think, thank God for those 18 minutes. The rabbis were brilliant, 18 minutes. Thank God, this way I know I have 18 minutes. I know I'm not, even though I'm always late. I know I still have those 18 minutes, they saved me. Those 18 minutes saved me. If the rabbis would have said, start Shabbat at sunset, everyone would be late. I don't know everyone, but it would be late. But since you have that 18 minutes, and no, Baruch Hashem, you're not transgressing Torah law, rabbinical law, nothing. Thank God for the 18 minutes. Saves a lot of people. And same thing at the end. There's another 18 minutes at the end. People don't tell anyone. Baruch Hashem.
18 minutes.
Yeah, that's why in a fast day we bring it lower. In a rabbinical fast day, we you know, it's a different time. A little bit earlier. Okay. So that's Yirat Ha'onish. Fear of the punishment. It's like today in America, right? But I don't want to get a speeding ticket. He's not scared of the speeding. He's not scared of the policeman. What's he scared of?
Ticket.
The ticket. The fine, basically. Your insurance goes up, you're fine, the points are worse than the fine. If you want to get a lawyer, go to court, and it's a hassle. Not worth it. So a person's not scared of what they did. They're scared of the consequences of what they did. It's the same thing over here. Yirat Ha'onesh is a lower level. Why? He's not scared of the actual action that he did. He's scared of the result of the action, what might happen. Hashem might do something about that. Second level, we said, is a higher level. Yirat Haromut. Fear of God Himself. Okay. I don't know who God is. I can't see God. That's why it's such a high level. A person's going to have some kind of visualization of God's greatness. You're not allowed to visualize God. But you can visualize God's greatness, vastness, and amazing abilities. The abilities of Hashem. A person's going to remember the abilities of Hashem. Hashem is amazing. That's Yirat Ramut. So he said, how do you do that? You have to think about big numbers. How many grains of sand by the seashore? Trillions. It's interesting because the same amount of sand at the seashore, same amount of atoms on a pinhead. 17 zeros, I think it is.
Wow.
10 to the 17.
Don't take it with a grain of salt.
Don't take it with a grain of salt. Because a grain of sand probably has as many atoms as the whole seashore has sand. It's wild. That's a wild number. That's wild. How many stars in the sky? The same number. Abraham, Hashem says, your children will be as many as the sand of the sea, and you'll be as many as the stars of the sky. So you see, it's a similar number, around the same number. Amazing. If we could only see the sky, I've said this many times, but it's really, I have to remember this. I'm trying to remember this myself. Driving to Canada, remember the story? I'm driving to Canada, and it's a dark night, and I went to the rest stop. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, they switched off the lights. And we got off the car, and wow, then I really saw the stars. I never saw stars before. You don't see stars out here. A dark night, no lights around at all. Bah, then you realize there's thousands and thousands of stars. The sky is packed with stars. It's packed to the brimming with stars. Why? Say, wow, Hashem, you're amazing. How do you do that? It's amazing. And you know what? You can't see them. We're blinded to these stars because of these lights. So it's amazing because the artificial creations of man blind us to the creations of God. That's what happens. The artificial creations of man, all the computers, all the iPhones, all these, they blind us to the creations of God. So we don't see the bird anymore. We don't hear the birds chirping. We don't hear the crickets at night. It's beautiful. I love it. Crickets chirping. It's like a symphony. We can't see these things. We don't hear these things. We're blind and we're deaf. We're deaf to God's will. We're deaf to God's creation because we're living in an artificial cocoon. Might as well live in a cave. It's amazing. We live and we're not living. We're alive and we're not alive. We don't see God's creatures. We're living removed from God. We're cut off from God in a sense. Being cut off from God, because one of the ways to come to God, Rambam says, how do you get knowledge of God? How do you get fear of God? How do you get awareness of God? By studying God's creatures. By studying science. Studying animals, by studying the birds, by studying the stars. And you'll see, it's amazing. Hashem is amazing. So that is a prerequisite to fear of God. How do you get fear of God? How do you know who God is? Because you've got to study. That's why I said it's good to meditate every day, a few minutes, on the vastness of space. Wow. And then according to Kabbalah, this whole physical universe is just the fourth level of all the four worlds. And there's a world above that. So there's many worlds above that. But these four worlds are called the worlds of emanation. And we're the number fourth world. There's a quarter of what we see. We don't even see the other worlds. We can't see. So we have to know God is here. And God is all the way up. All the way up. All the way up to the heaven. We don't know where. We don't know. There's a level of God, just God. There's a level up there. Ein Sof Baruch Hu. The Kabbalists don't call him God. The Kabbalists call him Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Ein Sof means infinite one. Infinite one. Infinity, Ein Sof, no boundaries. It's so amazing how thousands of years ago they thought this concept of infinity. Ein Sof Baruch Hu. He's the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. He's the one with no end. And it's hard to comprehend. That's part of Yirat Ramut, is to think about the greatness of Hashem. How can you have fear of something you can't see? You have to envision something. What can we see? What can we envision? So you envision the creator of whatever we can see. And the third level is Yirat HaChet, fear of sin, which we have to discuss. Okay, let's go and discuss the first part now. Yirat HaOnesh. What is the fear of punishment? Simple, the way it is. The fear of punishment. Adam Yira Me'avor Irpi Hashem Rakam. A person will not sin because they're scared what will happen from that. They're scared of Hashem will punish the person. Now, Hashem has many ways of punishing. Oh boy. Hashem has a big, it's like Yitzhak Rabin once said. Or I think it was Barak. Barak was a, he says, our problem is not how the wherewithal to punish the Palestinians. Our problem is which one shall we use? Because just then the Palestinians murdered in Ramallah, they murdered two Jews. Who wandered in, soldiers who wandered in by mistake, and they just murdered them. And so Barak said, I have a problem. I don't have a problem of what to do. I don't have a lack of resources. I just have too many resources. I don't know what to do. I don't know which one I use. Shall I use this bomb, that bomb, this missile, this missile? I got so many different ways. Baruch Hashem. But look, Hashem is the same thing. Classic example. We're going to read, hopefully, we're going to get to it before Tisha B'Av. It's one of the stories in the Gemara before Tisha B'Av. Titus. He destroyed the second temple. He destroyed the second temple. And it says he ripped the parochet. Imagine the curtain between the holy and the holy of holies. Rips it with his sword. Blood comes out. What a miracle. Look a miracle. He puts his sword in the curtain. It's a thick curtain. And blood came out of the curtain. And guess what he said? I killed God. kill God. He said, I killed God. Then it says he took down the curtain, he took a zonah, and in the curtain, the Holy of Holies, he had no respect for God. So what happens? He wraps all the gold and silver of the temple in that curtain. He wraps the menorah, and all the table, everything in that curtain, makes a nice big, I don't know who carried that bundle, massive bundle, and he takes it on a boat back to Rome. And when he's on the boat starts shaking. Big storm. He says, there God only has power in the water. Pharaoh was killed in the Yam Suf. Sisera was killed in the, well, his wagons got stuck in the river. And same thing with me. Hashem is not the God of the world, he's God of, because if he was the God of the world, he would have stopped me right there. He didn't stop me. So now he's, Hashem says, don't worry, I don't need big things to get you. I have a little insect that will go inside your nose and eat up your brain. In other words, today we see, people die. How do they die? Not big things. Cancer. What's cancer? Cells. Little tiny things you can't even see. What is that thing? It's a tiny thing. Just put it off the table, that's all. Won't vibrate. So it's a tiny thing you can't even see. Hashem says, I don't need to kill you with an elephant or a tank or a bomb. I give you something tiny you can't even see. Barman, now we have all these diseases today. You can't even see these diseases. People say, where's God? Can't see God. Hashem said, okay. Midah keneg midah. You won't see what will kill you. You can't see me. You can't see what will kill you. Barminan, horrible thing. So we always have to say, there's a God. We believe in God. So that is Yirat Onesh. Yirat Onesh is fear of the punishment. And Hashem says, I have so many punishments to choose from. It's like, huh? Yeah, exactly. That was why I brought the case in Barak. Hashem is even more. Even more. We can't even imagine.
Yes. Into the Vatican now?
Yeah, that's what we think. We don't know for sure. We think they're under Vatican. We don't know. You want to go and check? Please.
I want to go.
Please go. You speak Spanish. You speak Spanish. You know you can talk to the Pope.
You don't speak Latin.
No, but besides that, Rabbi, they say that all the gold, also from the Inca or from the Indians, They took it
to Spain. I don't know if they took it to Vatican. Yeah?
No, but they say that because it was the...
So go check, please.
I'm going.
Do a big mitzvah. Big mitzvah.
I'm going to...
We'll give you a percentage if you can get it away. Finders keepers. They said, I had a rabbi who was a friend of mine. He stayed in my house. He would do research on manuscripts. His name is Rabbi Blau. Very tzaddik, very big tzaddik. Very, one of the biggest tzaddik you might know. Around it. I knew. Alav Shalom. Very big study. Amazing study. I never saw him. He was always learning. You could never move him away, you know. He'd talk to you and then look back. He'd talk to you and look back. He had a little Gemara. He was learning non-stop, this man. Chicken soup. He would carry his own chicken soup everywhere around the country. That was when he could carry these two suitcases. Now he limits it to one suitcase. He passed away. He'd eat pineapples and chicken soup. That was his diet. Yeah, I never seen a tzaddik. Anyway, he said he did research on manuscripts. So he had a friend who was not Jewish, who he had sent to the Vatican to check what's going on up there. The friend came back and said, I saw the shulchan, the table. It was full of dust, but it looked like the table. He knew what it looked like. I don't know. That's all I know. That's all I know. He got in there, let him into the crypts underground. There's a lot of crypts. It's gold. And plated. Wood. Plated with gold. So it's... anyway, that's how do we get to that? I don't know. How do we get to that? I don't know. But we said Titus took all the gold. We don't know if the barbarians who conquered Rome, maybe they took it away. We don't know. We don't know for sure. But I would think they would have underground caverns where they hid all their stuff. Same thing applies to Jerusalem. We know that King Menashe dug And it says Shlomo, according to Rambam, dug underground rooms. And according to ultrasound, the Israelis did ultrasound, 32 rooms under the ground. Lev, 32 rooms underground. They saw with the, I don't know, they don't tell you what they're doing.
Lev and Lev.
With the 32 rooms underground, you can burrow in, I'm sure, without anyone knowing. So I don't know. But one day we'll find the Aron HaKodesh. One day it's going to pop up. The question is, what will we do with it? You can't put it in a museum, you can't touch it, it's holy, it's scary. Like the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You don't want to go near it. So unless the Kohanim, you need Kohanim who carry it. The Kohanim have to carry it, actually Levim. The Levim have to carry it on their shoulders. And they have to be Tahor.
So that is your job then.
Huh?
That is the Penny's job.
Penny's a Kohen. Levi, we need Levi.
Levi. They still need to find a red cow.
So, fear of punishment. Lowest level. Hashem can punish the body or the soul. So there's nothing that can frighten a person more than telling him he's going to punish him. The trouble is, most people, I said to get to that level is a high level. Why? You have to believe in God. You have to believe God knows what you're doing. You have to believe God knows what you're thinking. You have to know and believe that God can interfere in the world. And then you can believe that God can punish. So it's a high level already. It's a high level of knowledge. So therefore, a person will always try and keep away from things so that he won't get punished. It's terrible. And especially when a person has some kind of court case or some kind of troubles going on, they get more scared. Which is good. Baruch Hashem. So we shouldn't ask for these things, but sometimes they help. Things going on. Hashem, I need your help more. Why am I going to do this? I'm going to bother. Why am I going to keep further away from God when I need Him more? Person's sick, whatever it is, bar minan. They need God more. Now's not the time to mess around with hanky-panky. Yeah? And things are bad, you don't mess around. We have to realize we are all in a situation of galut. It's a kind of sickness. Self-imposed exile. It's horrible. Imagine your father's over there. It's like me. My mother's in London. I feel terrible. I do. Honestly, I feel terrible every day. She needs me. She doesn't know what I look like anymore. She doesn't remember me. If you're there every day, maybe she'll remember me. It's a very hard scenario. God is there. The holiness of Yerushalayim is there, and I'm here. We're in exile. The truth is, even in Israel, you're in exile. Why? Because the Shekhinah, the power of the Shekhinah is much less today than when the temple is destroyed. You can't even go inside the Beit HaMikdash. You have to sit outside the Kotel. So we're really thrown out. Hashem threw us out from His table. It's like the father threw his son out of his house. Boy, it's rough. We have to remember that. And especially during the 3 weeks, that's what we remember. So there's nothing more scary for a person than this fear that something bad will happen if he does it. There's nothing that scares a person more than consequences. If I do this, look, Hashem can punish me any way he wants. It's like, so all the troubles we have in our lifetime, it's a little bit of a punishment. Sometimes people have more trouble, more less. The form Sara Agra, the more trouble, the more reward when it comes to mitzvot. Sometimes a person not even doing mitzvot, they have troubles. Yesterday I had a lot of issues. Small things, Baruch Hashem, many small things and not one big thing. Baruch Hashem. But you have to realize every small thing is like kapara. Everything is like kapara. Kapara, kapara. When you go to Israel, you have even more small things. More over there than here. So the life is not as easy over here, over there, as it is over here. Plus, people have shorter fuses over there. So over here, more people are more calm. Over there, people have short fuses because of the pressure of life. Okay. He says this is a very low level of fear of God. Fear of punishment is a very low level. And a person with brains will try and climb to the next level. What's the next level? Let's go. Hamila Sheni. Yirat HaRomut. A person's got to know that God is watching. God's glory is great and He's everywhere. Malaharz kibodo. The world is full of his glory. God's glory is everywhere. How can a person go against the will of God? How can a person do something against the will of God? God's glory is everywhere. God is so great. And this is something which we trip over every time. We all trip over this. How can I go against the will of God? Well, we rationalize. It's built into us. How is it built into us? Because we are the descendants of Adam and Chava. They knew God the clearest and the closest. And they rebelled. That's hard to understand. It's hard. Imagine. You talk to God. You see God. You talk to God. Whatever it means. You can't see God. But you see something. God says to them explicitly. He didn't tell me the mitzvot. He gave it to Moshe 1,000 years ago. I have an excuse, you know. It came down through tradition. I don't know. Maybe they made a mistake. You know. See, but he heard directly from God. She didn't hear it directly. Chava didn't hear directly. She had a little bit of excuse. But he heard directly. And he ate.
She convinced him.
Yossi, whose side are you on? He ate. He rebelled. So where did his descendants? We're descended from Adam. We're trying to rectify the sin of Adam. That's our mission. One of our missions is to rectify. How do we rectify the sin of Adam? It's by keeping God's will. When you keep God's will, you're doing your part of fixing the sin of Adam. You're bringing Mashiach closer. Because Adam stands for Aleph Adam, Dalet David, Mem Mashiach. When you fix the sin of Adam, you bring Mashiach. How do we fix the sin of Adam? By keeping God's will. By having this fear of God, that knowledge that God is here, God is great, and God wants me to do this, and I'm not gonna do it. God wants you to do it. Why won't you do it? He's the greatest. There's no. It's very, very hard to do this. It's a very high level. Serving God because he's God. Okay, serving God because of punishment. Everyone can do that. I don't know, everyone. A lot of people can do it. Serving God just because he's God. So the example you have to give is like a parent. You love your father. You love your mother. You love them so much. Whatever they say, it's hard to do that as well. We have to practice. We have to practice on our physical parents. That's why Kibud Av V'Aim is such an important mitzvah. You practice on your... Well, you practice on someone else, your spouse. Someone else you love. Whatever they want. Like a child, basically, it's children. Whatever that kid wants, I give him. That's a spoiled brat. Right? They're all spoiled. Why? Because the parents, they love their children so much. Whatever they want, they don't have to say it even. But they're thinking. What do they want so much? Let me think. They need a car. They need this. Whatever he wants, I'm going to give. But put that God now in the equation. Whatever God wants, I'm going to do. I'm thinking, what can I do for Hashem? It happened to me. I heard this conversation. I was very lucky to hear this conversation. Where a guy came to my father, he says, God did so much for me, what can I do for him? Isn't that a great conversation? Can you imagine? So number one is a person has to appreciate what God did for them. Most people do not appreciate one bit what God did. And that's all the morning blessings are all appreciating everything God did for us, which we don't really appreciate. And the proof is, how long do you take to say your morning blessings? Don't talk about it. You know, we have to do teshuvah on that before Yom Kippur. Hashem, forgive me for not saying the blessings properly. I appreciate it. Even the food. That's the bracha of the food. But did you really think? Did you really, really mean? I thank you, Hashem, for the food. Trouble is, we say it so often, it becomes like a rotor. Like a robot. So that's Yirat HaRomimut, is knowledge of God. To the point where a person says, I love God so much, I cannot disobey him. I'm subservient to God. I'm the Eved. I'm the servant. And who is the classic servant? Moshe Rabbeinu. Avdi Moshe. God says, my servant Moshe. He calls Abraham even higher level. My beloved Abraham. He loved me like no one else. Abraham loved God like no one else loved God. How do we know? He's willing to give his son for God. Give everything. Sacrifice everything. He's willing to sacrifice his whole life for God. How? everything he, all his reputation. He's preaching, love and tolerance and don't sacrifice your sons. He's willing to sacrifice his whole reputation for them. That was his 10th trial. But Moshe Rabbeinu is called the servant of God, which means whatever God says, I follow. Except for one time he made a little mistake. Yeah. It's over and over again. Hashem repeats it over again. Last week's parasha, a few weeks ago. Chukah. But Avraham Avinu, he loved God. So he did it through love. Moshe Rabbeinu did it because he was humble. In other words, I know where God is and I know where I am. I'm going to argue with God. He did argue with God. Only on behalf of other people. Amazing. That's humility. Because if your boss, who is such a great man, tells you something, you're going to argue with him. But Avraham Avinu treated God like his best friend. And then David HaMelech also. The word David means Dodi. Dodi is beloved. And he's Dodi. Dodi is letters Dalet Vav Dalet, which is David. David is the beloved of God. God loved David. Why did God love David? Because David loved God. It's very simple. Midah k'nei midah. If you love God, God loves you. If you admire God, God admires you. If you care about God, God says, I care about you. If you serve God, God says, whatever you want, I'll do for you. You do His will like your will, He'll do your will like His will. It's midah. Everything is midah k'nei midah. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Everything is exactly the way we treat it. Everything will come back. So to get to this point of knowledge of God, how much I owe God, how much I love God, how much I care for God, how great God is, that's Yirat HaRoamimut. That's fear of God Himself. Now we come to the third level, which He says is the highest level. He says it's part of Yirat HaRoamimut, it's part of the fear of God. But it's a different part of it. A person should be worried all the time. In case his deeds were not perfect. There's something small which is bad in the deeds. Because God is so great and I need to serve God perfectly, not something missing from the perfection. If God is perfect and God is so great, even a small mistake in one of my deeds, even if the deed is not perfect, it wasn't good enough for God. It's like today. Imagine you manufacture something, but it has a small defect. You know what's going to happen? Customer service will be flooded with phone calls. You can't afford to manufacture something with a small defect today. It's going to be picked up. And then it's going to be on the social networks. Recall. And there'll be recall. I know, that's cars, but whatever. Huh?
And IKEA. IKEA. Dressers.
What happens?
Their best
dresser down.
Of all time. Keep falling
out. Oh boy. Good. So I can imagine you're doing something for God and it's not perfect. Oh yeah, yeah, this really, I never thought about this. This point is such a small point that you don't even think about. That if God is so vast and God is perfect and you're going to do something which is missing. Alright. That's a very high level. You see, it's a very high level. And that's why Yirat HaChet is not fear of sin. It's fear of lack of perfection in the deed. That's what it is. It's fear that I did something which is not perfect for God. That's what it means. Which is a very, very high level. Which implies that God is perfect and God demands perfection. Because if God is perfect, He demands perfection. If God demands perfection, and where am I in that perfection? That's fear of the sin. Huh? That's our job. Our job is to beat it. Our job is to, not to beat it, but to harness it. I love food. Okay, Shabbat comes, enjoy. Make a siyum. Eat food for the sake of living. Love to eat, to be able to live, and serve God. Whatever a person loves, that's the Yetzirah. So use the Yetzirah as the motivation to do something bigger. Use it as something bigger. Make it part of the bigger picture. So in other words, a person who got to this level of fear of sin, it's not really fear of sin, will worry about the perfection of their deeds. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen. We're going to stop here. We'll have to finish this. This is a hard topic. I mean, we have to digest it.